Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's up, A. Howard?
The sun is shining, and I'm finally getting geared up for summer.
Okay.
So I've just booked my first set of concert tickets for 2024 summer concerts.
Do you love concerts?
I didn't for a while. Like, I mean, everyone likes concerts, I think, but I didn't really get the hype of it until I started going with friends, like, in college. Because in high school, we would go to, like, Rupp Arena and see Winter Jam. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember what concerts I went to. But I didn't really go to any big, like, festivals or anything. My new obsession, that's actually a little bit of too strong of a word. It's not an obsession. But I really enjoy, have you ever been to Riverbend?
Yeah.
In Cincinnati?
Outside concert venue where it's like an amphitheater type
Yes.
deal.
So I've been scouting out Riverbend for who all's coming. Because they have big names that come through
there. They
have
massive names that go through, yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out how many concerts I'm going to allow myself to go to and who I'm going to take with me.
What kind of music do you listen to, A. Howard?
A little bit of everything. In the summer, I love country because it just gives me the right vibe.
Okay, all right.
We've talked about that a little bit before, I think. But I found a new folk band this week
that I've been listening to. Okay.
Little folk.
I don't even know what folk is described as. What is a folk band?
Like the Lumineers.
Okay.
Probably one of the most popular.
Okay.
So it's like that style.
Like a little bit of banjo in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
I
like. Okay. And I feel like I appreciate that each song is very unique. Like, I like pop music sometimes, but I think sometimes it feels like every song is like the same in the structure of it or whatever. And you just never know what they're going to throw at you for folk,
Fair.
Which is also why I like bluegrass music because it's just like
bluegrass
all improv,
That's
like chaos.
From around here? There's some really good bluegrass musicians
yeah.
in this area.
You're a country fan, though,
oh,
right?
Oh, huge. That's all I like. I try to listen to the other stuff. My wife listens to the other stuff. I can't. I mean, like, I like country music through
Which
and through.
Which flavor, if you will, of country? Because I feel like there's, like, 90s country, and then there's, like, today's country.
Yeah, I mean, I'll listen to everything. Like, I'll listen to 60s country. Like, I'll listen to the old stuff.
Oh.
I'll listen to the newer stuff. I'll listen to all of it. Yeah, no. And I tell people that whenever I started driving. So whenever I was first driving a car, I drove the family minivan for multiple years, but the old Ford Windstar did not have an aux cord. There was no such thing as an aux cord at that time in that kind of car. So I had CDs, and I had 5 CDs, I think, that basically in my car that I was able to use. So it was Eric Church, who is my favorite artist of all time. Toby Keith, rest in peace, Toby Keith, just passed away. Love that guy.
Love Toby Keith.
And I also like some classic rock. So CCR was the other one. That was CCR Greatest Hits, Jimmy Buffett, and Bob Seger. That was my
what a
five
spread.
CDs. It was quite a spread. That was my 5 CDs that I played to absolute death. They're still in my car today, and every once in a while I pop them in and play them. But yeah, no, that's my kind of old school. I mean, I could go all the way back, but love some Bob Seger, love some CCR, and then country.
Woo! Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah.
Do you have any country concerts on the docket?
I do not have anything signed up yet. I don't know. I've really want to see Zach Bryan at some point. I think that would be fantastic, but we'll see.
He's country adjacent, I would say.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
he's not necessarily.
Him.
Yeah, he's more like new style.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Have
different.
You heard another person who's country adjacent? Have you heard of Niko Moon? N-I-K-O Moon.
I think I've heard a song or two.
It's like very pop kind of country.
Okay,
that's my vibe.
Oh yeah.
I looked just the other day to see if he was going to come anywhere close to here.
No,
because I saw
so much,
him
so.
At Manchester, I think.
Okay.
Last
yeah, a little
year.
A little small place that we have here where it's just kind of like a couple hundred people.
Yeah, and it was a vibe. He had a solo cup of beer on stage with him, and he just carried it around with him the whole time. But it wasn't like he was just having a great time. That's it was great. Awesome. All right, let's get to our question.
Oh my goodness. Whoa. Wait on the question. Whoa. We got some announcements. We got housekeeping, odds and ends. Yeah. We are sponsored this episode and all episode by Jewel Financial. We have a wealth development program where we work with folks all across the country. So if you're interested in the wealth development program, feel free to go on to our website, put on what you're interested in. You can go on to our wealth development side and you can schedule a meeting with us and then we can talk about more of your situation. Send us questions. We're getting a lot of good questions, but we need those audio questions to keep this show going. It's podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. That's the email you send your question to after you do an audio recording of that. And then check us out on the social medias. It's DIY Money Podcast on all your social media platforms. Okay, we got a good question today from Anna. Anna, what do you got?
DIY!
Hola, DIY Money team. I recently got married and learned soon enough that my husband is a CFO and I am the CEO. So to get on board with my CFO's financial plan, I looked for a super cool financial podcast and that's how I fell in love with your show. Anyway, my question is, if my CFO husband and I would like to retire in Mexico, would you advise that when the time comes, we pull out all the money at once out of our 401ks and transfer to a Mexican bank? If yes, which one would you recommend? Or do you recommend to keep it in the USA and retrieve money from time to time? I am Mexican. My husband is American. We're both living in Michigan, building up slowly our 401ks, and we want to make the most out of our future dollars. Gracias.
All right. Thank you so much for that question. No, I would not do that. All right. We can wrap it up. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, everybody.
We definitely do not recommend taking out the 401k all at once. And I'm going to let Allie put on her CPA hat and talk all about the tax side and why you shouldn't do that. Definitely prefer going with the take it out kind of as it goes. I mean, even if you retire in Mexico, it works similarly as if you retired in the United States. So when you take money out of a 401k, no matter what dollars you take out, and a 401k can also be rolled over into a rollover IRA, whenever you take money out of those accounts, it is fully taxable at your income tax bracket. So whatever dollars come out, that is what it's taxable at. And the more dollars you have, you can actually bump yourself into higher tax brackets as you go, because the more money you take out, that just adds to your income. Allie, explain more on, okay, let's say they build up $1 million in a 401k. Taking that $1 million all out in one lump sum, what would that look like from a tax perspective?
Yeah. So like you said, if you're taking it out year by year, it's only taxing the amount you take out. If you were to take out, we'll call it $1 million in a single year, you're going to be paying in the highest tax bracket, I think 36%, I believe, off the top of my head, of tax on that year.
Holy taxation, Batman.
However, if you were to take out like a portion of that every year, 20 grand or so, whatever you want to call it, then you're just adding that to what I'm assuming you'll probably have Social Security benefits or a pension or what other income you have. And that would be the rate that you'd be taxed at. And normally that's closer on average to like 22% or something like that.
Yeah. So you taking out that big lump sum in one foul swoop is going to bump your tax bracket up significantly. Now, we have a progressive tax bracket in the United States. So I always think about it like cups. Like you have to fill up the lower cups before you get to the higher cups. So if you have this massive pitcher that's overflowing with water and you have all these cups, most of that massive pitcher of water is going to go into the biggest cup that is the highest tax bracket.
I gotta go pee.
So you fill up the 10%, 12%, 22%, 24%. You fill all these up, and then you eventually get to the 36, 37% tax bracket, and that one has the majority of the assets in it. So 40% of your money instantly gone. That's a huge, huge hit on the taxes. Now, we're not going to sit here and act like we're experts when it comes to Mexican tax law.
Nope.
We're not. We are not. So we are not going to act like that, but from our research, from what we understand, if you were to take money out of a 401k or IRA that is housed in the United States, which is what you would do, you would leave the 401k or an IRA at a custodian in the United States. You'd be able to access that in Mexico. But when you take that money out, our understanding is that you would pay U.S. taxes on those funds. And then there's laws in place that basically give you a tax credit for what you would have to pay in Mexico. So you do not have to pay twice. Now, how all that works, how it logistically works, talk with a CPA that is an expert on Mexican tax law, because that is very complicated.
The reason why we're talking about like this, I think one of the questions people have a lot of times is there's two different like methods, I guess, of moving money from 401k. You either have to withdraw it and then contribute it somewhere else, or sometimes you can roll it over. So in the United States, if you wanted to move the custodian of your 401k, you could roll it over to another custodian, but that doesn't count as a distribution. So what you can't do is distribute it. Now,
could do it.
Well, should. Yeah. Yeah. Now for Mexico, you wouldn't be able to roll over your 401k to a custodian in Mexico, if that's your question. You would actually have to take the funds out and then put it directly into a Mexican bank or Mexican investment.
Well, and here's one of the concerns I have about saying that is, okay, we're going to, at retirement, this is for anyone, not for someone in your unique situation, but for anyone, okay, I'm going to take my money out of investments that I've been growing and building up once I get to retirement, take it all out and put it into a bank. Okay, well, are you able to maintain your standard of living with the rate of interest that you're going to get from a bank? People think all the time that when they retire, their plan is over. Like, your financial plan is done. It's over. You're retired now. You made it. But in most situations, you have 30 to 40 years for people that they still have left in their life once they retire. So average retirement age is like 65. All of our plans go out to age 92. So that's another 27 years that you're living off of the funds in your 401k or in your IRA. You need to have that invested. You need to have that growing for you, keeping up with inflation. Now, allocation is super important at that point. So maybe when you're getting closer to retirement, you're backing off your stock side. You're having more bond side. And that reduces the risk level that you have. But it's very important to know that when you retire, your plan's not over. You're not just, okay, now I'm going to take cash out and have cash for the rest of my life. You need to still probably, there is some people that can maybe just put it in cash, but most people are going to need to have some return on that investment. They're going to need to have interest that's growing. They're going to need to have a stock side that's keeping up with inflation and going over and above inflation to make sure you're not drawing down on your principal too much and basically running out of money at some point.
Yeah, not only is it not like ending at that point, I would almost argue it's just getting started. Like, right, that's where you have a lot of the complexity in financial plans, is figuring out, because of your unique situation and your tax situation, where should we pull these funds? Should we ever move them early and do Roth conversion and all of those things? And I'll also say too, I like your point about, well, why not just put it in a bank and just pay the tax and it is what it is. One of the things we do for our clients as we're presenting a financial plan a lot of times is we'll have that conversation with them. If they're not wanting to participate in the market anymore, no problem. Let's run a scenario, and we can stress test this and say, if you don't keep track with inflation and this is your return on your investment, instead of like a 6% return, maybe you're only getting 3 in the bank, no problem. We'll run the math. And a lot of times it absolutely tanks their plan, because it's not just 3% in that first year. It's compounding 3% for the 27 years we plan out for them.
Well, so, and you have inflation that's going to knock that down. You're going to have healthcare things that come along down the ways. You're going to have some other unexpected events. You're going to need a car in retirement. You're going to need to put a new roof on your house in retirement.
Mano da céu.
I mean, we see these things every day in our financial planning, where you can't just do a simple 4% rule and say, okay, yeah, I have a 4% rule, so I'm going to be able to just draw 4% out of my account every year. Well, there's going to be some unexpected events that come down the pike. And remember, right now we're in an environment where interest rates are high. We have interest rates in our country right now that are up in the 4, 5, even 6% range in some areas. So if you were getting 5% right now on a treasury bond, that was not the case a few years ago. So your fixed income money sitting in the bank was earning you zero. Sidebar, many of you are still sitting in a savings account that are getting 0%. Look into high yield savings.
That'll make you smile.
You were getting 0% many years ago, and now you're getting 4 to 5% on that cash, but that's not probably always going to be the case. That's going to come back down at some point, and you're not going to be able to get that much interest on money just sitting in the bank. So your plan does not end at retirement. This is a really great question. Again, we're not going into all the logistics of foreign tax credit and what that means and all of those things, but it's important to remember your plan's not done when you retire. You want to draw out that money a little bit at a time to make sure you're living for your needs, like to make sure you're sustaining the type of life you want to have at that point in your life. But again, this is a great question. Thank you so much, Anna, for sending that in. And it's very unique.
It is very unique. Just to kind of put a bow on it, I know we somewhat bunted on the foreign tax perspective, but if you're in a situation like this, and you have a very specific tax issue that you're facing, it's really helpful to find a CPA who knows these things, because they're, like we said, we don't know everything about the tax law in Mexico. So maybe it would be beneficial to pay a ton of tax in the U.S. and move it over for you. It's hard to say. So find someone who understands Mexican tax law and can talk on that side, and then weigh the pros and cons of maybe you do have to pull it out here and that's the best thing. I don't think that would be the case, but you never know. So talk with someone and see what the best path is for you in your specific situation.
Great. Okay, we got that question sent in to podcast@diymoney.org. Remember, send in those questions, and you get a $25 Amazon gift card for doing so. The secret to wealth is really very simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest. Do so for a very long time, because your plan doesn't end at retirement. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us, and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.